Thank you, thank you. It is really great to be with you today. And I'm told that you're part of a historic incoming class because it's the largest class in 20 years. You want to give yourself a round of applause for that? You might look at me or some of the other people on the platform and say, they're a little bit older, but I can just tell you, a lot of us look back. When we were in your seats, they were some of the best years of our lives. And you're in a great place to study. And I just want to encourage you to look at this year ahead as an opportunity to be able to grow as an individual, to build some lifelong friendships, to prepare for what God has in store for you, some plans that if you could just see them now, you'd go, really, God, you got that for me? And so I'm cheering you on and can't wait to see as I come back here how things continue to go and you continue to grow. For my message today, I want to tell three stories. Three stories that tie together and really have an impact, can have an impact, sort of drawing us in to the most important pursuit in life. Here's story number one. You may have heard this, that 12 years ago in 2013, there was a couple about 90 minutes west of here in Trinity County who were taking a walk and with their dog, and as they're taking a walk, they noticed along the side of the path this little rusty can that was sticking out of the ground. So they sort of take a stick, they're like, I'm curious what that is, and they start, you know, scraping around the can. And as they do, they sort of get this can, and it's got a lid on top, and it's heavy, and so they say, we'll take it back to our house. So they take it back to their house, and the guy's like, I think it's probably some lead paint in here, but we'll just check it out. They pop open the can, and they're shocked to discover on the inside of this rusty can, just 90 minutes west of here, a can that was, in fact, I think you'll see the can up here in a second. But this can that looked rusty on the outside contained a bunch of gold coins. Gold coins that were from the mid-1800s. So what would you do if you found a can that was somewhat like protruding out of the ground? You'd maybe go back and do what? See if there's some more, right? So they did that. They start digging around. They find eight cans that contain 1,437 gold coins. And the coins were worth, anybody want to guess how much these coins are worth? Just over $10 million. Not bad for a walk with your dog, right? So where do you sell coins like that? On Amazon, right? That's what they did. They sold them on Amazon, seriously. And so they sold all these coins, $10 million. If you look it up on Wikipedia, it's called the Saddle Ridge Hoard. And you don't have to look it up now. But Saddle Ridge Hoard, and it's the largest or most valuable buried treasure ever unearthed on American soil, right here in Northern California. They walked that path. It was actually on their own property. They walked that path many times, never had noticed the little can sticking out of the ground, but found a treasure. Often the way treasure is found, it's unexpected. It's something that you have to be looking for. But when you find it, you say, we'll do anything to secure that treasure. Now, let me just ask you this. They haven't told people what the exact address is because they don't want people showing up on the property, right, and starting to dig. But let's say that I knew the family who lived there, and I had the address, and I told you, I said, you know, they're sort of tired of digging, but they think there's a lot more cans on the property, and they'd be open to Simpson University students coming out. What would you do? Maybe some of the faculty would be like, we're going to go to Home Depot, get a couple of shovels, right? And we'll start digging and see what we can find, right? Because you don't want to miss the treasure, right? When you find out that there's a treasure that's out there, you'll do anything to find it, right? Especially if it's of great value. Which leads to story number two. Told by the greatest storyteller ever in history, whose name is Jesus, and Jesus loved to tell stories. And so he captured attention of people. We're going to look at a story that he told in Matthew chapter 13. If you have your Bible app or you've got a paper Bible, you're welcome to turn there with me. But Jesus is speaking to this crowd of people, and there's so many people that, you know, he gets into, stands by the lake, and he gets into a boat because he just needs the space. But here's what we find, Matthew chapter 13. Just want to read the context here in verse 1, and here's what it says. Matthew 13, verse 1. It says, that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in what? Parables. Let's just pause there a second. Then and now, there's been this fascination with Jesus, right? Even if you don't accept what he says, you even think of, our history is sort of divided into two, right? We would say it's 2,025 years since this person, whatever we think about him, since he broke into history. There's a fascination with Jesus. And whatever we think of him or what we make of him, he's one who taught with authority. And people knew even then, they're like, there's something different about this rabbi. So here in Matthew 13, it says that he told them many things in parables, which just you probably know what a parable is, but a parable is a short, compelling story that Jesus would tell to help us to learn truths about life and really how to encounter and experience him in a relationship. And there are probably 35 to 40 parables in the New Testament. And in fact, if you're not sure where to start in your Bible reading, and you say, you might look up and just say, what are the parables? And over the next month, just read a parable a day, because Jesus, in telling these stories, was sort of holding up a mirror to us about ourselves and about life. And you probably know some of the familiar parables, like, you know, the Good Samaritan and the prodigal son, the sower and the seed, the mustard seed, and the lost sheep. There are some great parables. And when you read them, you find out what Jesus says about key issues in life, like the power of forgiveness or the kind of soil of our hearts. Like, how do you have the kind of heart that's open to God and that will be, you know, that will reproduce? And what it means to be a generous person and the impact of generosity. And really what you find in these parables is you discover the way of Jesus and his kingdom. Some will encourage you and some are meant to be warnings. Like, as you read them, you'll go, sometimes he's going, hey, go after this. And other times he's going, be really careful of that. The one we're going to look at here in Matthew 13 is really, it's an invitation that Jesus gives to all of us, even today, in August of 2025, he's saying, this is a story for you about a treasure. And so here's what he says. If you drop down to verse 44 here in Matthew 13, here's what Jesus says when he's in front of this huge crowd of people, far larger than the crowd we have here today. He says this, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered while taking a walk with his dog in a field. Now, it doesn't quite say that, but it's close, right? In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. And when he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and he bought it. That's sort of Saddle Ridge right over, all over again, right? If you find a treasure that's incredibly valuable, Jesus says, go after that, right? Just makes sense. If you know that there's a treasure out there that's worth everything, you do a cost-benefit of an analysis, and he says, if the benefit of this treasure far outweighs the cost, he says, it's just rational. It just makes sense to go after it. And Jesus says, that's what I want you to do with my kingdom. In fact, he mentions that two times. Verse 44, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. Verse 46, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a pearl of great value. He repeats it twice. He doesn't want us to miss it. What he's saying is this, be willing, listen to this, be willing to let go of anything, in order to go after the treasure that he's offering you. That's what Jesus is saying. Don't miss the treasure. Just like that couple, I got one of the coins right here. This is actually from Dr. Hall. This is one of the Simpson University coins right here. So don't mug me on my way out of here, right? But if you knew that there was a whole bunch of coins and you found this can and you're like, you know what, we're just going to watch some TV. I don't know, there might be more. You'd go, no, that would be really dumb, right? You're going to go after the treasure. And Jesus is saying the same thing. He's saying, I'm offering you something that I think is worth the pursuit of your life. Like, don't miss it. Don't miss it. Someone might say, well, what exactly is Jesus talking about? When Jesus invites us into his kingdom, he's not just talking like about a place up in the clouds or something like that. He's talking about a place where love rules and where justice flows and mercy reigns and God is near. It's a life of following Jesus, like receiving his forgiveness. Many of you have done that. You're like, I've invited Jesus to come into my life. Like he's become the reorganizing person of my life. He's my constant friend. Like you consult him about things in life. You follow his ways. Friends, that's the ultimate treasure, is being able to know Jesus in a personal way. I like how someone has noted that this book, which is where we find the treasure, this book, someone has said, if we view this book merely as a library of information or of facts and history, we're missing out. It's that, but it's way more. I was just told that every athlete, every Red Hawk athlete, I think it was, got a Bible this month. Is that, how many Red Hawk athletes? Can I see your hands? Where are the athletes out here? All right, great. And I want you to say whatever Bible you have to say, I want to view my Bible not as a library just to get information. This is like a coffee shop to meet the one who is the greatest treasure that we could ever experience in this life. And when we get to know the treasure, friends, it's life-changing. Your identity becomes secure. Your future is, you know where you're going to be. Your life is filled with purpose. And speaking of athletes, by the way, those of you who are athletes know that if you find your identity simply in how your latest performance was, it's a pretty insecure way to live, right? Because you know that there's always going to be people better than you are. It's not always going to go the way. The score is not always going to be the way you want it to be. But if you can say, I have something that is a deeper identity that defines who I am because I found the treasure, it frees you up in life. So I'm a big football fan. I'm excited you guys have a football team now. And I love how Mike Tomlin, any Pittsburgh Steelers fans here? Okay, I see three hands. I'm a Cleveland Browns fan, so I'm glad there's not more. I want to ask how many Browns fans there are, because probably be zero. But Mike Tomlin is an amazing coach. And even though I'm not a Steelers fan, Mike Tomlin has the longest, it's the longest streak in NFL history of non-losing seasons. In other words, in 18 years, they've been either 500 or above in every single season that he's coached. Amazing guy. Mike Tomlin is also a Christian. And here's what Mike says. Mike says, I'm not defined by being a coach. Coaching is what I do. Who I am is a follower of Jesus Christ. That's great, isn't it? Coaching is what I do. Who I am is a follower of Jesus Christ. You know what? Mike Tomlin found the treasure. And he's all in for Jesus. A testimony to the fact that when you find the treasure, it transforms not just like what you do with your life, it transforms actually who you are. And that leads to story number three. Story number one, Saddle Ridge Hoard, just 90 minutes west of here. Story number two is Jesus telling us about the treasure. Story number three is this. Whenever Jesus tells a parable, he's not just talking about people out there, he's talking about you and me. When Jesus told a parable, people began realizing he's talking about us. Sometimes it was pretty uncomfortable. So when Jesus tells a story about the treasure and about a pearl, he's talking about you. He's inviting you into the story, and he's going, I'm offering you a treasure. The question is, are you going after it? Can you say today, my life is marked by the treasure that only Jesus can give? And you know what he says is really simply this. He goes, like, come and follow me. You don't have to jump through hoops. You don't have to be like this amazingly good person or some kind of a religion. He's saying, no, just come and follow me, and I will change your life. This treasure that I'm offering you will define the person that you are. But I have to be honest with you. There's something about these two parables that Jesus says in both of them. In both of them, he makes it really clear that there's a cost. In both parables, both individuals, it says they sold how much? Everything. They sold everything they had. In other words, Jesus is saying, following me is going to cost you something. And you're going to realize that when I become the center of your life, there are some things that, well, it'll change the way you live. Maybe for some of you, you're going to choose a major or a career path that align with your deepest values, even if it's not the most lucrative financially. For some of you, if you follow the way of Jesus, there's going to be social cost. It might mean that you get rid of a certain behavior that you know is dragging you down. You go, I know this does not honor Christ in my life. I've got to find victory. I'm going to do whatever it takes. Talk to a counselor on campus. I need to get help in that area. It might be that you end a relationship that you know is taking you off track in your relationship with Christ. Is that hard? For sure. But here's what Jesus says. Any cost, listen to this, any cost that you pay to follow Christ, you'll never, ever regret. Because you'll have the greatest treasure that this life could ever offer, and that is a thriving, vibrant relationship with the very God of the universe. Friends, the treasure is costly, but you know, can we just acknowledge this? I think I have a verse here on the screen from Deuteronomy 10, that when God tells you something, when Jesus, following in the way of Jesus, is always for your own good. Here's what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 10. Observe the Lord's commands that I am giving you today for your own good. For your own good. Can we just say something really clearly today? When you follow Jesus, when you receive the treasure that he offers you, there is nobody wiser, like nobody wiser to have in your life than Jesus Christ, right? And that he'll guide you into the way that is of wisdom. And nobody loves you more than his love is for you is greater than you could ever comprehend. The Bible says it's wider, higher, deeper, longer than you could ever think. And he has the best plan for your life. He wants you to experience life the way that he designed it for you. And his ways are good. You can trust his heart. So here's my question. Are you going after the treasure that Jesus talks about? You know what's really tragic is when a person never discovers, what's really tragic is when a person never discovers the treasure that's right there. Imagine that couple back 90 minutes west of here. They're living on that property, and they sell that property, and the next owners of that property find the treasure. And they go, hey, did you guys know there was like $10 million treasure? The deed is now in our, you know, with our names on it. You'd say, oh my goodness, they missed the treasure. There are people today, so many, who either miss the treasure or they know about it and don't have the courage to pursue it because they're not willing to let go of something else in their life. Friends, when you invite Jesus to take the lead in your life and you find the treasure, he transforms you. In fact, you become the best version of yourself because you become the person he always meant for you to be. Not only that, you know what's interesting is the rest of the New Testament here talks about the fact that when you find Jesus, and so many of you have, that when you put your trust in Jesus, you not only have a treasure, you actually contain the treasure. One of my favorite verses in the New Testament is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and here's what the Apostle Paul says. He says, we have this treasure, we just don't have it like out here. He says, we have this treasure in jars of clay or old rusty tin cans. He's going, these bodies that we have, that we invite Jesus, he goes, the Spirit of God actually comes and lives within us. I just tell you, I would not trade the treasure that Jesus has been in my life for anything. And you know what's fascinating is how many people, even in recent years, maybe because some of the anxiety issues and all this going on, the craziness in our world, how many people are reaching out, and there's a movement, especially among younger people, to find a relationship with Christ, maybe in new ways. Perhaps you've heard about that. I want to close with one of those stories of a person who is on this search and for something more and found it. Her name is Molly Worthen. You'll see her picture up here on the screen, I believe. Molly's a professor of history at the University of North Carolina. She's written for the New York Times, for Slate, the New Yorker, lots of other publications. And Molly had grown up as an agnostic most of her life. Like, I just don't really know what I believe. She grew up in a secular family outside of Chicago. Really smart person. Went to Yale, and she got both her bachelor's and doctoral degree there. In a compelling interview that made waves in the academic world, Molly shared how she came to Christ 3 years ago in 2022, and having been a skeptic almost her entire life. It's a remarkable story. She's been very bold about this, finding the treasure, and she did a lot of reading, and in the end, she's like, wow. She became convinced that the resurrection of Jesus really took place. Let me read what she says. She says this. She said, I was praying when she put her trust in Christ. She said, I was praying for some sort of warm and fuzzy mystical intervention, and it didn't happen. I just got to the point in August 2022 where I thought, well, gosh, if I'm a consistent pragmatist, I have to admit that I have gotten over that line of the resurrection being the best explanation for the historical evidence we have. And if that's true, I have to change my working hypothesis of the universe. And after her investigative journey, Molly Worthen found the treasure of Jesus Christ, and a new chapter began. And Molly will say, he's made all the difference in my life. Friends, that's what I think is so cool, is that when Jesus offers us the treasure, he's not offering us simply like $10 million. This is way better than, there's a lot of people who have made $10 million or more, and there's an emptiness inside. The treasure that Jesus offers is the greatest treasure that you could ever experience in this life. So here's what I want to say in my closing words. I realize in a room like this, we're all over the spiritual spectrum, right? There are some of you, you're like, man, you're talking my language. I put my trust in Christ. He's been the greatest treasure. And I would just say that nothing has been too great of a cost to give up for him. Like, the life isn't perfect, but I want to tell you that he's the greatest treasure in my life. If that's you, I'm cheering you on. And I hope that you'll be, as you heard the other day, you'll be like, this little light of mine is going to shine wherever you go. Some of you are like, I'm in the process. You're like, I'm not really sure exactly what I believe. You know, I'm intrigued, or maybe I have a spiritual past, but I don't know. Can I just say today, would you consider the tragic potential of never discovering the greatest treasure that this life offers, and that is a relationship with Jesus? I can just say this, you'll never regret going after the treasure that Jesus offers you. Because he keeps his word. And what Jesus said in that story 2,000 years ago, it's a story he had in mind. He knew that he was talking not just to people who were standing in front of him, but people who had come hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years later in history, even those at Simpson University, and he'd be saying, there's a person who has taken a walk, and they found a treasure, and they did everything they could to go after it. There are people walking around Simpson University campus, and they found out about the treasure, and they were willing to do whatever it took to go there. May that be you. I'm cheering you on the journey. May you find Jesus to be the greatest treasure in your life. Would you pray with me? Let's ask him to have his way in us. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you today for the invitation to know you. We're in awe of you today. Thank you that you, God himself, that you would become one of us to rescue us and save us and adopt all of us who receive you into your family. Thank you. So Jesus, my prayer today is that you will help me, you'll help all of us to know you better this year. to discover the purpose you have for our life. Help us not to miss out on the treasure of the life that you offer us. That's what I'm asking you today. Thank you for listening. Amen. God bless you as you go on this journey.